some of the life here of Joseph. All right, so we're going to start in Genesis 37, and we'll start here in verse number 2, and we're going to read from 2 all the way down to number 11. All right, everybody there? Okay, so here we go. Genesis 37, verse number 2. It says, "This is the count of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending to the flocks with his brothers, the son of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made him a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, 'Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaves rose up and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it.' His brother said to him, 'Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?' And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. 'Listen,' he said, 'I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me.' When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, 'What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?' His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind." All right, so what do we learn here about Joseph here in these first here 10 verses? For one, we learn the age of Joseph. He says he was a young man. He was just 17 years of age. And then we also learn that he was out with his brothers tending to their father's flock, all right, to their father's sheep. And it says that Joseph came and gave the father a bad report about his brothers. How'd that make you feel? Yeah, a little brother, sister, y'all out doing something. Here he goes, he tells dad and moms all the time. What do you call that?
Snitch.
That's when you get older. You usually call him a tattletale. When you're a young kid, you tattletale. You go tell everything. So we see it's not a good relationship so far between Joseph and his brothers. So we see that Joseph here brought a bad report about his brothers to their father, Israel, whose name is also Jacob. Then we also see that Israel, whose name is Jacob, their father, he loved Joseph more than any of his other sons. He loved him more than any of his other sons. It says because he was born to him in his old age. And then it also tells that he made him a special ornamented robe. All right, so as a kid, you look at it, and King James talked about the coat of many colors. So his father made him this real nice, fancy coat, this robe he had on, which basically set him apart from all the other brothers, because the other brothers didn't get a robe. So he had a special robe that his father had made for him. He was special in his father's eyes. All right, so because of Jacob's favoritism to Joseph, all the brothers hated him. And they said they could speak a kind word to him. All right, it's not that they wouldn't, they could not. Like they couldn't even find it themselves to say a kind word to him. They hated him. All right, they despised Joseph. Couldn't stand Joseph's guts. That was how his brothers felt and looked at him and looked toward him. And then to make matters worse, Joseph had two dreams. All right, to make it all worse, he had two dreams he had. And his father and his brothers concluded that the dreams meant that they would bow down to him. That meant that Joseph would rule over their family. All right, and his father rebuked him for that, but he kept it in his mind. But the scriptures tell us that his brothers, they were jealous of him, and they hated him. They just couldn't stand him. Scriptures make it loud and clear that his brothers hated him. Tell us three times, they hated him, they hated him, they hated him. They could not stand Joseph. They hated Joseph. So that's what we see here, starting off here. So we see what we may say as a sibling rivalry, but even more so than that. All right, there is some serious hatred going on between Joseph and his brothers. It doesn't seem Joseph done anything wrong besides tattletaling. That's not wrong in the sense, but to your brothers, that's like wrong. You shouldn't go back and tell daddy everything we're doing. All right, so we see here that there is hate here, and we see that there is a dysfunctional family here. All right, so we want to continue to read on, and we're going to go continue on here in chapter 37, and we're going to continue to read here here in verses 18 and through 24. All right, so what's taking place here? Now Joseph's brothers, they're plotting on him. They're plotting to kill him. They're plotting to take his life. But they don't take his life. They end up throwing him into a cistern. They end up throwing him into an empty well. So this is what we're about to read here. So Genesis 37, verse number 18. But they saw him in a distance. Oh, before that, his father, Jacob sent Joseph out to go check on his brothers. His brothers are out tending to the sheep again. So his father is now sending them out to go check on them. And here they see him coming here, verse 18. It says, but they saw him in the distance. And before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. Here comes that dreamer, they said to each other. Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of the cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams. When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. Let's not take his life, he said. Don't shed any blood. Throw him into the cistern here in the desert, but don't lay a hand on him. Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the richly ornamented robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. Now the cistern was empty. There was no water in it. And verse 25 there at the beginning says, and they sat down to eat their meal. All right, so here they see a little brother come. All right, they plotting on killing him. Reuben talked him out of killing him. They end up taking his robe off, throwing him in an empty well. And when they did that, they sat down and ate them a meal. These are some pretty hateful brothers that they want to kill their little brother, but they don't do it. They throw him in the well, and then they go about their own day and just sitting down eating a meal. Let us continue on, verse 28. So when the Midianite merchants came to his brothers, they pulled Joseph out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites who took him to Egypt. Verse 31. Then they got Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe in the blood. They took the ornamented robe back to their father and said, we found this. Examine it to see whether it is your son's robe. He recognized it and said, it is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph surely has been torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. No, he said, in mourning will I go down to the grave to my son. So his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph into Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. So we see here also, after his brothers had thrown him in the cistern, they took him out of the cistern and they sold Joseph to some Ishmaelites who took Joseph down to Egypt. All right. And then we see also that they killed a goat and they took Joseph's robe. They dipped Joseph's robe in that blood. They gave it to their father Jacob. And Jacob said that a furious animal has killed my son. So he was, in his mind and his heart, he knew that his son Joseph was killed. So we see the deception of the brothers also. They had already sold their brother into slavery, and now they're deceiving their father. And we see here that Jacob said that he was going to mourn until he dies. He loved his son, and he now knows in his mind and heart that his son has been taken away, been killed by a ferocious animal. And it tells us here that now Joseph, he has been sold to one by the name of Potiphar, who was an Egyptian, and he was an official of Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt. So you talking about life throwing you a curveball? Here I am skipping about my merry way, going to check on my brothers, and they plot on killing me, threw me in a well, and now here I am being sold off to somebody, some Ishmaelites, taken to Egypt. life can really throw you some curveballs at times. And we see this as the different vicissitudes that Joseph went through, the ups and downs here. We're going to see these different changes in his life as we continue to read through Joseph's life here. All right, so now we want to continue on. Let's see where we at now. Chapter 39. So we have a little break there in chapter 38 and chapter 39 here. This shows us here that Joseph was sold into slavery. All right, remember Joseph was now in Egypt. He sold to one by the name of Potiphar. All right, so he's a slave in Potiphar's house. And things are starting to look up for Joseph. All right, Joseph had been made head over, well, not the head, but he's the one that is over Pharaoh's household. All right, not Pharaoh, Potiphar's household. All right, so he is now second in charge. All right, he's taking care of the house, and he's in the best position that a slave can be in. He is now steward of his master's house. And everything's going pretty good for Joseph. Things are starting to look up. But the Bible says that he was well-built and he was handsome. Joseph looked like me. I caught that one. No, but because he was handsome, because he was well-built, Potiphar's wife desired for Joseph to come and to sleep with him, with her. She wanted Joseph to come and go to bed with her. All right, but Joseph refused. And then Mrs. Potiphar, she continued to try to get Joseph to lay with her. All right. One day, she caught Joseph alone doing his work and in the house. And she came and had her chance to make her pass at him. And she did. And Joseph ran out of the house, leaving his garments, his cloak in her hand. And she screamed out rape. And Potiphar now had Joseph put into prison. All right, so now we see things looking pretty good for Joseph, but now it seems like it's happening all over again. I could imagine you getting tore out of your clothes or leaving your clothes, and now you're going from being in your master's home, Potiphar's home, and now you've been taken off to prison. That's like deja vu. Doesn't it happen before with my brothers? So we're seeing the ups and downs here in Joseph's life here. Things start to look pretty good, having a normal day, then all of a sudden, things change. So now let us move to chapter 41. Chapter 41 here. All right. So, Joseph, when he was in prison, he was able to interpret the dream of Pharaoh's cupbearer and his baker. All right. So now we have Joseph here. He is now about to stand before Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt here. All right. So here in 41, Pharaoh had a dream. He had two dreams. And his dream was about stocks. All right, he had stocks that was fat stocks of grain. And then the dream also was about skinny stocks of grain. And then he also had a dream there about cows. He had fat cows. All right, seven fat cows. And then he had a dream about seven skinny cows. So Pharaoh wondering what his dream meant. He didn't understand what his dream meant, so he called in all his wise men and his magicians to come in and to interpret his dream, but they were not able to interpret his dream. So the cupbearer of Pharaoh remembered that when he was in prison, there was a young man, a Hebrew boy named Joseph, who interpreted his dreams, and everything came to be exactly how he said it was going to be. So Pharaoh calls for Joseph, as Joseph brought before him, and he tells Joseph, I hear that you can interpret dreams. This is my dream. Interpret my dream for me. Let us read a little bit about that. Let us see here. Verse 15. Genesis 41 and 15. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Verse 16. I cannot do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh. But God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Verse number 25. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Verse 29 and 30. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. All right, so Joseph here saying he could not interpret the dream, but God is the one that is, if he gives all credit to God, God is the one that gives the interpretation of the dream. And then we see now God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. All right. So even when we're talking about Joseph, I forgot to mention the dreams that Joseph was having, those dreams were coming from God. In the Old Testament, God would reveal to men things that he was going to do or speak to men in dreams and in visions. So what was taking place and what Joseph was dreaming, this was all God revealing things to him. And now God is revealing also to Pharaoh what he is about to do. And we see that in verse 29, that there's going to be 7 years of great abundance. So there's going to be plenty of grain and food to be gathered in the land for 7 years. But after those 7 years, there's going to come 7 years of famine. So that's what the skinny cows and the fat cows was about. That's what the fat grain and the skinny grain was all about. God was showing to Pharaoh that he was going to allow abundance to be in the land. But after that, there was going to be a great famine in the land as well. And Joseph was able to interpret that for Pharaoh, all right, in that dream. So after that, what does Pharaoh do? He says, since you have the Spirit of God in you, you're such a wise man, I see God is with you. Pharaoh now put Joseph in charge of all his palace. So now Joseph is second in command, basically. He's second in authority. Nobody is higher in the whole kingdom of land of Egypt than Pharaoh. Then after that, Joseph is right up under him. All right, God has been good to Joseph. Look where he's been blessed to be, right up there, up under the king here himself, the ruler here of Egypt, and that is Pharaoh. So God really has been good to Joseph here. So now we want to read here about Joseph being revealed to his brother. Let us turn to 45, Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. And this here, now Joseph is making himself known to his brothers. All right. He is making himself known to his brothers. Oh, I'm sorry. I went too far. 42. I meant to go to 42. Bag up a little bit. 42. So here in Genesis chapter 42, just as God had shown to Pharaoh in his dream that there is going to become a famine in the land, the famine has now begun to come into the land. And all the world is now coming to Egypt to get grain. And they have to come to Joseph. He's in charge of all of the grain being issued out to people. So the whole world is now at this time in a famine. And they have to come to Egypt to get food. And they come to Joseph. All right. So let's read Genesis chapter 45, and we'll start here in verse number 41. When Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why do you just keep looking at each other?" He continued, "I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some for us so that we may live and not die." So now Jacob, here knowing that there is food in Egypt, tells his son that you go down into Egypt and buy some food. So drop down to verse 6 through 9. Genesis chapter 42, 6 through 9. Now Joseph was the governor of the land, the one who sold grain to all its people. So when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. As soon as Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them. But he pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly to them. "Where do you come from?" he asked. "From the land of Canaan," they replied, "to buy food." Although Joseph recognized his brothers, they did not recognize him. Then he remembered his dream about them and said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see where our land is unprotected." So the great famine is going on. Joseph's brothers now have to come to Egypt to get food. And guess who they have to come to? Joseph. They had to come to their brothers to get food here in the land of Egypt. All right, it says when they came, they had to do what? They bowed down before Joseph. The dream that is now coming true is that Joseph remembered that dream. But when he was 17 years old, now that dream has now become a reality. His brothers have now come and they are now bowing down before him. But it tells us here, as soon as Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them, but they didn't recognize him. Joseph had been shaven. He had been looked as the appearance of an Egyptian, so they didn't recognize Joseph. Also, it tells us that Joseph spoke through an interpreter, so they didn't hear his voice either. So they did not know that Joseph was their brother that they were talking to and have come to get food. And Joseph started to put his brothers through a series of tests. He says that you are spies. He didn't say, hey, you're my brothers. He said, you're spies. So Joseph starts to put his brothers through a series of tests to see if they still had that type of heart that they had years ago when they wanted to kill him and throw him into a cistern. And that's going through a couple chapters. You can read that and you'll see that Joseph does put his brothers through the test and to see where their heart was, such as an example that he gave the younger brother more food than he gave all the other brothers. He wanted to see if they were still treating the younger brother with hatred, just as they treated him with hatred. So he's putting them through a series of tests to see where their heart was. Let us turn now to Genesis 45. Genesis 45. All right, so now here we're reading about Joseph here. He's revealing himself to his brothers. He's letting his brothers know that he is Joseph. So we're going to read here in Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 through 8. It says, then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, have everyone leave my presence. So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph, and my father is still alive. But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been a famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. So we see here, Joseph has now revealed himself to his brothers. After all these years, Joseph has been without his brothers, without his family. He's now in Egypt, in the palace of Pharaoh, and now he reveals himself to his brothers here. All right. So it tells us here in verse number 1 that Joseph, he couldn't control himself. All right, he tried to hold himself and not reveal himself to his brothers, but it got to a point where his emotions just overtook him. He couldn't hold himself back, and he revealed himself to his brothers here. All right, so Joseph here, he showed great love to his brothers. He didn't show hatred to his brothers, but he showed great love to his brothers. All right, he didn't hate his brothers or hold a grudge against them or seek revenge against them. It was a perfect opportunity, all right? I'm going to do you like you did me. All right, all these years that I went through all of this, I'm going to throw you in the pit. All right, he did lock Simeon up for a while there. It was just testing him. But I'm going to throw you in the pit. I'm going to have you killed. All right, perfect time to have I'm the man. I'm in charge of everything that's basically going on here in Egypt besides answering the Pharaoh. I could have anything done to you. All right, but is that what Joseph did? Mm-hmm. No, he didn't do that to his brothers. Joseph did not hate his brothers or hold a grudge or seek revenge against them. Joseph showed love, compassion, and mercy to them. How was Joseph able to show such forgiveness to his brothers who caused him so much pain and so much suffering? See, Joseph saw the big picture. All right, he saw the big picture of God. He saw God's plan and all of what was taking place in his life. He had clarity now that he probably didn't have when he was 17 years old receiving the dream He had the clarity that he probably didn't have when they threw him in the well in the pit, and he was screaming because the scriptures let us know that he was there pleading for his life when his brothers threw him into the cistern there. So Joseph now has clarity. He probably didn't have that in prison. He probably didn't have that, all the things he was going through in Potiphar's house. But now he sees God's plan. He sees God's picture that he has. And that's what we read there back in verse number 5. Let's look at verse number 5 there again. He says, "And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God." So we see here, Joseph was letting them know that this was all God's plan. All right. It wasn't you that sent me here. All right. It was their actions that led him to be there. But Joseph doesn't say that. He said, this is God. He is the one that sent me here. And the purpose of God sending me here was to save lives. All right. Joseph realized the plan of God. All right. He's seen the big picture here that this was all the plan of God. Look at verse number 20. Oh, wait a minute. Did I mess up here? We're supposed to be in chapter 50. Oh, I did. I'm sorry. I messed up. We're supposed to go to chapter 50. We'll stay right there. So, yeah, this is Joseph. He saw the big plan. He saw God's picture. He saw God's plan. He saw that God was working in his life to save the life of many others. All right. So Joseph was willing to forgive his brothers, not holding a grudge against them at all. So that was the picture that Joseph was able to see there. All right. So the question is, what if Joseph never would have forgiven his brothers? What if he had a heart like some of us, not forgiving one another as brothers and sisters in Christ? What if this was Joseph's attitude? All right. Well, God still been able to work out his plan to be able to save many, all right, to be able to save him. God could work out in his providence. He could work out things, but it wouldn't have been worked out through his servant Joseph. All right. Joseph would have missed out on his blessings that God had for him if he wasn't one that was willing to forgive his brothers. So we see the big picture. It's not necessarily all about me, but I'm looking at the big plan of God. I'm looking at God's overall purpose in the whole situation. So I'm able to forgive my brother or my sister so that God's whole plan can be fulfilled. God wants man to be saved. And that's what I talk about forgiveness is for, reconciliation, bringing man back together so that man can be saved. All right, so let's look at Genesis chapter 50, and we're looking at verse number 15. This here, Jacob is now dead. Their father is now dead. All right, so now we're looking at Genesis 50 and 15. It says, "When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, 'What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pay us back for all the wrong we did to him?' So they sent word to Joseph, saying, 'Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I asked you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrong they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of God, of your father.' When their message came to Joseph, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. 'We are your slaves,' they said. But Joseph said to them, 'Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children.' And he assured them and spoke kindly to them." So the brothers thought once the father died, Joseph was going to get us. And they was afraid. So they sent the message to Joseph. When Joseph heard the message and the reminder that they had, you remember what Daddy said? "Forgive us." Hurry up and put that mess up. Send this message to Joseph. They remember what Daddy said. Don't do anything to us. Forgive us. And when Joseph heard the message, what was his reaction? It said Joseph wept. You know, to even think that his brothers would think that in his heart that once their father died that he would do something to them, kill them, Joseph wept. He really loved his brothers, and he reassured them that he had forgiven them, and they had nothing to worry about. Joseph said, I'm going to take care of you, and I'm going to take care of all of your children. You have nothing to worry about. Showing that's real forgiveness that we can see in the life of Joseph. And Joseph said also that you might have intended it for harm or for evil, but God intended it for good, all right, to work out and accomplish his purpose, which was to save lives. Do you see how when we forgive each other, we are those who are helping save lives, to help our brother to be able to be reconciled unto us, that we all may be able to be with right standings with God and go with him when it's all said and done. Reminds me of the prodigal son. He ran away from his father, came back. His father said he was dead. Now he's alive. All right, my son was lost. Now he is found. So it shows us about forgiveness and showing us that that forgiveness allows us to be reconciled and to be back in a relationship with one another as God would want us to be. All right, so I got 3 points. Share those with you real quick, and then the lesson is yours. 3 points here is that God is in control. All right, God is in control. From the beginning to the end of Joseph, 110 years. Joseph lived to be 110 years. God was in control. He knew all about Joseph's life and what was going to take place in Joseph's life. Remember when we started in Genesis chapter 37, how old was Joseph? 17 years old. When he stood before Pharaoh, the scripture said that he was 30 years old. All right? He also interpreted the dream, which was going to be 14 years. It was going to be 14 years of abundance. I mean, 7 years of abundance and 7 years of famine. Mm-hmm. So my math is right. That's 27 years. All right, that's absolutely God knew what was going to take place in 27 years in Joseph's life, which he knew the whole 110, but to show us through scripture that he absolutely was in control of all of what was going on in Joseph's life. All right, is God in control of your life? Does God know what's going to happen in your life in 27 years, 30 years, however long you may live? God absolutely knows that. God is in control. Is God in control even in the midst of this pandemic that we're going through? Absolutely. God is in control. We see that in Scripture. That's why we can have comfort when we read God's Word. He was with Joseph, and he was in control of all of what was going on in that time and in Joseph's life, just as he is in our lives and in these times right now. God is in control. That's your first point there. Point number two, God was with Joseph, and Joseph was with God. All right, God was with Joseph all the way through. Go back to Genesis chapter 39. Go back to Genesis 39 and look here at verse number 2. We'll see that God was with Joseph, and the scriptures show and even tell us that God was with Joseph. Genesis 39 and 2 says, the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of the Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household and entrusted to his care everything he owned. So God was with Joseph. When he was in Potiphar's house, it says the Lord was with him. All right. Genesis 39 and 20. Drop down to verse number 20. Genesis 39 and 20. It says, Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all that he held in prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. So Joseph in prison, the Lord is with him. He made him in charge of everything in prison. He's in charge of everything in Potiphar's house. He's in charge of everything in prison. In those situations, as a slave and a prisoner, he's in the best position you can be in. And this is where we see God is with him. Also in Genesis 41, 39. Genesis 41 and 39. It says, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you after he had interpreted his dream, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. So you see, also there we see Joseph in charge of all that was taking place. Verse number 41. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robe and fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He even had him ride in a chariot as his second in command. And the people shouted before him, make way. Thus he put him in charge of the whole land in Egypt. All right, so we see every place he went, even where it seemed to be a downtime in his life, God was with him. Joseph didn't understand all what was going on, but he knew that God was with him because God was blessing him, giving him success in everything he did. So we may not understand all of what we're going through and why we're going through it, but believe that God is with you. Jesus said, he'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you. God is always with you. Even in those down, those dark times, you know, God is right there with you. And we need to see that. And the point there is God was with Joseph, but also I show you that Joseph was with God. Back to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis 39. I told you you had to have your Bible. And we told you flipping around, you had to have your Bible. All right, we're going to make sure we're looking and seeing what's going on in Joseph's life. All right. So Joseph, he didn't know everything that was going on just as us as Christians. But we know that God will always be with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. All right, so now we want to look here in Genesis 39, verse 7 through 10. And we're looking and we're seeing that Joseph is with God. All right, so verse number 7, 39, 7. He says, and after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. So this is Potiphar's wife. Verse 8, but he refused. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in the house than I. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her, even be with her. So we see here Joseph being here tempted by Potiphar's wife. Joseph said, Potiphar has put me in charge of everything. He's been good to me. Why would I do this to him? So he shows his loyalty, how loyal he is to Potiphar. But then he shows us even who he truly is loyal to. He said, how could I commit this great sin against God? Even through all of what he's going through, he's still with God. You would think sometimes you go through the vicissitudes, the ups and downs in life, you get to those dark times in your life, people give up on God. Joseph never gave up on God. He never turned away from God. He kept his faith in God, no matter what he was going through. No matter what it was, if it was trouble in your home, at work, going through a pandemic, keep your faith in God. Just as we see Joseph continue to keep his faith in God. Also, chapter 41. Chapter 41, Genesis 41, and we continue to look here and to show you that Joseph was with God. 41 and verse number 51. It says, Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, it is because God has made me forget all my troubles and my father's household. 52. The second son he named Ephraim and said, it is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. Joseph was with God. He named his children after what God has done for him. All right. So he was with God. God has made me forget about all the troubles in my household. I think this is really when Joseph finally came and said, okay, it is what it is. I'm in Pharaoh's kingdom here in his palace. He's given me a wife. I have children. And that allowed me to have some comfort. I got a family of my own. Even though I've lost my family way back then, God has blessed me. And he's given me a family of my own. So he was with God and he named his son Manasseh after what God has done for him. The same with his son Ephraim. He said, it is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. God was with Joseph, and Joseph was with God. All right, even through those difficult times, Joseph never gave up on God. He continued to have faith in God, just as we are to have faith in God no matter what we go through. Last point here, point number three, Joseph understood the purpose of God. Joseph came to realize overall what God was working to accomplish. All right, and it was through Abraham that all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And we started with that. That was a promise given to Abraham all the way through his descendants. Joseph come to realize the big picture of God here. All right. You look back here at verse number 45. I mean, chapter 45. I'm sorry. Chapter 45. In verse number 7, it says, "But God sent me ahead of you to preserve you for a remnant on the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." So we see here, God sent me ahead. Remember, he never said that your brothers, you the one done me this. That's why I'm out here. You put me through all of this, and I just hate your guts. And he never said any of that. He said, the reason why I'm here, God sent me here. The reason why I'm here doing what I'm doing, God sent me here to preserve a remnant on the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. The very ones that was trying to kill him is the one that was there to help save their lives. And he speaks of a remnant. That remnant is where Jesus Christ comes from. That remnant of that great nation, that promise that God has given to Abraham, is of Israel. And from Israel, we have Judah, which from Judah, we have Jesus Christ. So it was through that remnant, that because of Joseph and his belief and his faith in God, God was able to work through Joseph, that the remnant would be there. And from that remnant, we have our Messiah. We have Jesus Christ. All right? So that then from there, we see that great nation, and then comes Christ. Let us turn to Luke chapter 20.